You are listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show, broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF-FM in Peterborough, Canada.
Hey, kids.
I'm Batman.
Look, up in the sky. It's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's dance-off, bro. Me and you.
Hello, and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm your host, Dan Collins.
Hey there, this is Martin Bruda.
Chris Gill.
Hi, I'm Sam Tweedle. I could talk about Archie forever.
The biggest bane to my existence right now is Shield number 9.
They know that I would have put it under my shirt and ran off.
What are you talking about? I haven't seen any Action Comics number 1.
Gwenpool, Spider-Gwen, the whole heat and stuff, this is going to be worth a few bucks. And nobody wanted it.
Yes, Dan, the Killing Joke does need to be R-rated.
I kind of like punching the walls of reality as a way to bring a character back because nobody knows what we're talking about right now.
Dark Knight Strikes Back was one of the biggest piles of dung ever, and it was what, $10 an issue?
We need to shame Sam. He is not here because he's gone to the Gem and the Holograms movie.
Hello and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm Dan Collins.
Martin Bruda.
Chris Gilpin.
Friday night.
Who'd rather be in San Diego right now?
No guff, eh?
Maybe.
San Diego Comic-Con's going on right now, so there's news flying left, right, and center of stuff that's going on.
Lots of stuff.
The one thing that caught my interest right away was the Titans trailer. Did you guys see that?
Yeah.
Did you watch the Titans trailer?
I didn't watch on purpose.
I can appreciate that.
Just because of all the,
hoopla
stuff, happening. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to sit this one out.
Yeah.
I'm just going to relax.
I liked it. A lot of people hated it.
Well, you know, I always watch the TV shows and the movies with that Elseworlds goggles on.
Yeah.
Like, if you really want something that's true to the comics, pick up a comic book.
Yeah.
and read the comic book. Like, sure, it would be nice if it was, faithful and... But they're going to interpret things differently. They're going to change a few things. So it looked a little gritty and dark. And I don't know why. All the DC movies and TV shows seem to go gritty dark. And dark.
Yeah.
But it didn't bother me. But that whole... It's going to be available on the DC Universe platform, which is their digital service where you're going to be able to watch TV shows, new and old. They're going to have the Wonder Woman TV show on there and a bunch of stuff. But that's not available in Canada. So I don't know if they're going to launch in Canada, or somebody else said that probably what they're going to do is those shows are going to show up on Netflix, Canadian Netflix, just like Black Lightning is.
Yeah.
Like it's a CW streaming service in the States, but in Canada it's on. So well, I'm sure we'll get it eventually somehow.
Yeah. But obviously very violent.
Yeah. Gritty.
Did you notice that they didn't show Hawk? They showed Dove, but they didn't show Hawk, which I thought was kind of weird. But I think it's going to be great seeing Hawk and Dove in a
We've seen pictures of Hawk.
Yeah, we've
press
seen
release,
him, yeah.
So we know he's in it.
Yeah, I know he's in it. I was just surprised that he wasn't seen in the trailer. But
F you, Batman.
Yeah, so where were they sitting when Raven was talking to him in that? Is he supposed to be like a cop or something? Because he looked like he was
I think he's a... Remember how he's a Bloodhaven cop in the Nightwing comic book for a little while?
Yeah.
So I think he's a police officer, and they were talking in like a questioning room or something like this.
Yeah.
But there's a line in it where he basically says, F you, Batman.
Yeah.
And
where's Batman?
I saw this hilarious meme. You remember at the end of Flashpoint when Flash gives Batman the letter from his father?
Yeah.
And he reads it, and he cries a little bit. So the panels show this scene, and when they look to see what's on the letter, it says, F you, Batman. From Robin, and then Batman drops a tear.
Nice.
Well, that was a good meme.
But, I mean, it was. I liked it. A lot of people are hating on it, but I don't know. That's the way it goes.
We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, and there was a, I guess, surprise new season of Clone Wars that was also announced, the animated series.
Oh, yeah.
Which was it looked cool.
I think I watched the first 5 episodes of that and then didn't watch it again.
Yeah.
I heard it's really good, so I should probably tune in.
So, it obviously takes place between the last season of Clone Wars and Rebels. Rebels, I thought, was great. I mean, it's a slow start, and there's a lot of character building, but man, that show gets awesome. So,
we'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Another thing that got announced at San Diego Comic-Con that I'm a fan of is Mego is back. the original Mego company. So Marty Abrams was the son of the owner of Mego when they started doing, in the 70s, superhero action figures, 8-inch action figures. So when I was a kid, these were just awesome. They were 8-inch dolls, and they had cloth removable costumes and stuff. And there was Spider-Man and Superman and Batman. They had the Batmobile and the Spidey car and all that stuff. So those were pretty big toys when I was a kid. And then Star Wars came out and destroyed everybody. All those toys just end up in a box under the bed, and everyone just started playing with Star Wars. But Marty Abrams is relaunching the company with a bunch of exclusives from Target. So you'll be able to get these Mego figures in Target, and they're starting with a really weird set of figures. It's like Alice from the Brady Bunch, Tootie from Facts of Life, Peg Bundy from Married with Children, Norm from Cheers. So like they're kind of like picking and choosing all these different TV properties.
Yeah.
Bela Lugosi as Dracula.
Oh, that's good.
Some other figures. And I thought that was kind of a weird mix lineup. But they announced that they're going to make Firefly 8-inch Mego. So yeah. I'm in. I'm in brown coat. I'll be getting those. So that was kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we'll see those.
A couple Batman comic announcements. The Batman 3 Jokers that were supposed to, that were mentioned way back when.
Oh, gosh.
Way back when.
Way back when.
Yeah. So that's coming out. There's not much. I mean, the cover looks cool with the three Jokers on it, but there's not a lot of talk. It talks about different dimensions, so we'll see.
Now, is that coming under DC's Black Label?
I believe so.
But yes. In canon, though.
Yeah, that's, like I said, there's not. Well, yeah, DC Black Label, but it is in DCU continuity.
Which is weird, because the whole Black Label idea was to be Elseworlds.
Yeah.
It wasn't supposed to be, but
yeah.
What do I know? I just work here part-time.
And Mark, now this to me seems cool, but worries me at the same time. Mark Silvestri working on a Batman-Joker team-up title.
Yeah.
Which is cool, because, you know, I love Mark Silvestri. But when you read the story and it goes, Silvestri is writing, drawing, and inking. I'm going like, oh, man. When's he going to have time to do all that? Like, what's going on there?
Well, he's probably got somebody else doing all of his image stuff.
Yeah. It's like...
No, Top Cow.
Writing, drawing, and inking the series. 7 issues. Wow.
Well, if Neil Adams can do it.
I guess. I did read that Marvel's putting out a new What If series.
Oh, yeah?
I love the What If stuff, but the last series, or maybe the last two, didn't. The first series was awesome.
Yeah.
The second series was okay. And then after that, it's just
Is it just like they've done too many what ifs? Like there's no more what ifs to be done?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, very interesting to see where they go.
Didn't I see they're going to make like Flash Thompson as the Spider-Man again?
Because
that was already a what if.
Yeah. And like Spider-Man Punisher or something? Was that what I saw? There was a... Which seems really strange. But it could be good.
Yeah, yeah.
You never know. And I also saw that Disney fired James
Gunn. Oh, that's a whole story on its own.
Like,
we'll dig into that.
You've got two movies that have done awesome. I haven't read the details, but to fire the director of these movies that have done so well, there's got to be something wrong.
Yeah, well, what happened was is he had there's some tweets.
Oh,
remember he did, what was that horror movie he did? Slither? Something like that? About these slug-like leeches? Anyways.
Oh, I think I know what you mean.
Yeah. Before he got the Guardians of the Galaxy, he was a guy whose sense of humor was intentionally geared towards irking people and getting under their skin. So he would make these really ridiculous tweets and stuff like this.
He called himself a provocateur.
Yeah.
So
he made these like ridiculous tweets and stuff like this, and that was a while ago, you know, not forever, but it was a while ago, and he doesn't do that anymore. Well, somebody dug up these ancient tweets, and now because of these tweets from 10 years ago or 5 years ago or whatever,
2009
it was,
apparently.
Yeah, so these tweets from 2009, Disney fired his butt because it's like, oh, you made inappropriate jokes in 2009, so you must be a bad person. Well. I mean, does that mean that...
But Disney is buying Fox. Fox owns Family Guy. Does that mean they're going to fire Seth MacFarlane?
Well, he's put a lot...
Disney's a pretty family-oriented company, and they do kind of clean things up, and they do kind of, you know, like there's no way R-rated Deadpool would be released by Disney. They just wouldn't make an R-rated movie. Now, I don't know. It seems excessive, but I mean, his comments were pretty gross.
I haven't even read them.
There were some pedophilia type things, and you know, but. And, you just read him and you know that he's just got a sarcastic sense of humor. As somebody who has a sarcastic sense of humor and gets in trouble for it all the time, I completely relate to him, you know, shooting his mouth off inappropriately. But, I don't know. Do you can the guy from two successful movies that have both made $500 million each or more?
Here's the question that I actually have, which is why in this... Okay, let's say that the political climate has changed for what you are allowed to say and get away with, even sarcastically.
Yeah.
Doesn't he have a personal assistant that can go through and delete old tweets that might get him in trouble?
Oh, for sure.
Don't
think for an instant that there isn't people out there right now today going, all right, somebody go through my tweets and clean this crap up.
But hasn't that, like, this has happened to other people before. And, you know, like, I read this story and I go, yeah, I'm pretty sure I haven't ever tweeted anything that's offensive. But, you know, I'm trying to make a name for myself a bit in the comics and stuff. And so, you know what? Maybe I'll go through my tweets from 5 years ago just to make sure there's nothing that is at the time seemed okay, but now is offensive.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
You know, like, I just don't understand how with people being called out on their past behavior, you don't think, like, maybe I should just double check to make sure that nothing I did was inappropriate.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm sure, like, there's no doubt there's people out there scrubbing their Twitter feeds right now.
Exactly.
You know, I'd be tempted to just kill my Twitter feed and start a new one, because if you're actually a celebrity like James Gunn, you'll get the followers back. It's not a big deal restarting over. But yeah, I don't know. It's Are we getting hypersensitive? Are we getting this?
Oh, very hypersensitive.
This, I hate to use the word snowflake, but is everybody becoming snowflakes and wounded all the time?
But this is, I think this is separate, because this is Disney. This isn't some people who are signing petitions to get him removed. Like, Disney just was like, yeah, let's just get rid of him.
Yeah.
You know, like, and like I said, so does that mean we're getting a completely politically correct Family Guy show?
Like, I really think the Family Guy is going to be, yeah, I think something's going to happen there, because that's not a Disney property. That's not the type of stuff that they deal with.
And I mean, but, you know, like, is Disney just going to keep it with another, like, is it going to be branded as a Fox thing still? So then they can just be like, oh, no, it's okay. It's Fox. They're allowed to do all that garbage. Yeah, we're still pure and clean Disney over here.
They put the naughty stuff on Fox.
And let's also take a minute to reflect on the fact that there were very risque jokes in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And there was more swearing in Avengers, the third Avengers movie, than in any... Like, I can't believe the amount of swearing in that movie for the fact that it's full of kids. Yeah. Like, there was a decent amount of swearing. So they even had to make a joke in the previous Avengers movie about Captain America telling Tony Stark to watch his mouth.
Yeah.
So, like, that's okay.
Yeah.
Because it's a movie and not real life.
Yeah, like, I don't know.
I don't know.
It seems weird and dumb, but... Like, Disney's also looking at it from a PR point of view. Like, the last thing they want is millions of moms, that organization, to start petitioning Disney theme parks and stuff simply because of James Gunn. Like, it's the third movie that's coming out. They could pretty much plop anybody in there, and the movie's going to make money. Yeah. People are going to come watch it just based on one and two. Maybe it won't make as much as the rest of the movies, but they'll get their money back, and... They seem to go in three movie cycles, so they're going to let go of everybody, and they're going to come up with a whole new cast of Guardians, and you know, make a new Guardians movie, just like they're going to do with Avengers eventually, right?
Yeah.
So maybe it's one of those things where, you know what, in this environment right now, it's not worth the time, effort, and hassle. And if we found this, who else is going to be digging at them and find something else later that we're going to regret? And but, yeah, just, I don't know. Everybody's just so hypersensitive these days. It's just crazy.
Yeah.
But, like, there's also like, the line between what... Okay, so I do have a tweet recently based on another tweet I saw where, I don't know your opinion on South Park, but most of the people that I know that are complete D-bags love South Park.
Yeah.
And South Park is a show that pretends that it cares about issues, but all it really is making fun of issues and making people who like to be racist be like, oh, I saw it on South Park, so I can now say inappropriate things because South Park did it. Like, I feel like they're pretending to be socially conscious and to care, but they're not actually. They're just using their platform as a chance to pretend that so they can say the things they've always wanted to say.
I'll be honest with you. I'm surprised South Park is still on. I didn't even know it was still being published.
Oh, it sure is.
Yeah.
And a dwindling number of people watch it, but people still watch it. Yeah. And, you know, like, for three guys like us, South Park was a revolutionary show, probably.
Oh, at the beginning, yeah.
Like, because... But I had to watch that at 11:30 at night.
On Friday.
Yeah, at 11:30.
But the funny thing is, the first episode, I was living in Kitchener. I remember clearly, the first episode came on, it was like a Thursday... like 8:30, right? And I'm watching this show going, holy cow, right? So I tune in the following week. It's like, you can now watch South Park at 11 o'clock on Friday night. Yeah, no doubt. Like, one episode, the first episode aired at like 8 o'clock on a Thursday.
And that was enough to get it bumped.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe the guys that did the show didn't realize that... the guys that approved the show didn't realize what it was going to be like.
And yeah, it's a kid's cartoon.
Yeah, we're making funny stuff.
Yeah.
But like, so, you know, like, That's just an example of a show that, you know, maybe it had its place in the sort of, it's kind of like I have this, being in music retail for a long time. When I started in music retail, we were very adamant about checking ratings on movies.
Mm-hmm.
And then Grand Theft Auto came along and literally destroyed the rating systems.
Yeah.
5-year-olds are playing Grand Theft Auto and, you know, you can beat up a hooker and you can steal cars and it's all full of sex and violence and swearing. And when that happened, the rating system no longer mattered.
Yeah.
Like, up until that point, people actually cared if what their kids were watching. And that's like the dividing line between when people stopped, like, were caring and when they stopped caring. And, you know, so, and South Park's kind of the same. Like I feel like it was a big influence on the sort of relaxing of mainstream media as far as content, because it feels like we're in a completely different world now than we were before South Park. But 20 years later, like, we talk so much about our comic book heroes and how 20 years later they're just a pale shadow of themselves. Well, guess what? That applies to South Park as well. And, you know, they may have broken the mold that TV was using, but that doesn't mean they have a place now.
Yeah.
The CRTC is clapping.
Yeah. It's, yeah, how it gets away. Like, I'm not a prude, but I've mentioned this before.
Yes, you are.
Yes, I am. You can turn on a TV show at 8 o'clock, and, you know, if you, the language they use now and the violence, right? Mm-hmm. You're seeing headshots, and it just shocks me. Like, I love watching that stuff as an adult, but you could have kids sitting there, you know.
Kids aren't watching that. They're watching Minecraft videos on YouTube and makeup videos. And
sure.
My kids, like, holy moly. They're just faces buried in the phone, and every so often I'll go just to see what they're watching, right? Yeah. And Aaron's watching this anime. Oh, my gosh. It's about a cat that works in an office, and she's all diminutive and quiet and stuff. But to relax and de-stress, she does karaoke screamo. like death metal.
Yeah.
So she's like, all like, you know, Hello Kitty. She's like, and I'm like, what are you watching? But at least there's no guns, boobs, and explosions and, you know, cursing and stuff. So I don't know. I mean, yeah, it's, I don't know, it's tough.
Yeah. I mean, that Netflix, it doesn't take much for a 7 or 8 year old to flip on Netflix and watch a movie full of nudity and violence and swear words.
Yeah, because like for our kids, for Netflix, I have the profile set that it's young kids and yeah, restrict this and restrict that. But when the computer, when the Xbox first fires up and they get to pick which profile they use, there's nothing stopping from using my profile and watching something different.
Yeah,
but even YouTube, you know, like, oh yeah, Sometimes the kids might want to watch a fail video, and that's full of cursing as somebody falls down and hurts themselves, and you know, you can't get away from the bleep and swearing.
Yeah. So, I guess speaking of TV shows, there was a couple announcements.
Yes,
Stargirl, which is basically supposedly a JSA TV show.
Yeah, yeah.
So that sounds interesting.
But that's going to be on that DC Universe streaming service.
Yep. And Batwoman, which I believe is in the Arrowverse.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, Batwoman is coming to the Arrowverse. Hmm. So you know that what was it, issue 15 of Countdown, whatever it was, that her first appearance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which was probably worth 25. I haven't checked. I don't want to check because it's probably like $100 now.
Time to go hit one of those stores in Oshawa.
Yeah.
Because there's tons of them.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
No, what can you do?
Yeah.
But here's something that I'm tremendously interested in, and I think you should be. The relaunching Green Lantern comic.
Yeah.
So we already know that Hal Jordan and the Green Lantern Corps is being canceled. I think the last issue is September or August. And it's being replaced by a ongoing artist is Liam Sharp, who is just freaking awesome. He's amazing. He did Wonder Woman for a little while there. Mm-hmm. Just great. And written by Grant I Do Drugs Morrison.
I'll have to put that back on my list then.
Oh, it's going on my list for sure.
Plus, it's just sort of like a mini, right? Not a mini, but it's a... Well, like, he's got... they said 12 issues.
No, no. It's instead of a big, epic 12-issue story, we're focusing down on the everyday life of a space cop. So basically what it is instead of having this overreaching 12-issue arc where they're going to be talking about all this blah, 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 and you know, make it a big thing, this is going to be... just individual issues, individual stories, one or two pages. Now, he says it's kind of confusing because they say 12 twice in two different articles.
Yeah.
But the one is, you know, he's got the first 12 issues written in his head. So he already knows where he wants to be. But then he said that those 12 issues are not, you know, one coherent, big, massive, globe-trotting story. It's going to be more focusing on Hal and being a space cop as opposed to, you know, the big, huge, here's the entire Green Lantern Corps, and this is what's happening with everybody, and this big, overwhelming thing. So it should actually be pretty good, I think.
No, I would argue that is what Grant Morrison does best.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Is taking it down to just a handful of characters. You know, Geoff Johns is the guy you want for a cast of characters. Yeah. He can write a cast of characters, right? Like the JSA, and when he did Green Lantern with all the different Green Lantern characters. But yeah, like Grant Morrison, you know, he's good with a handful of characters, and he can be pretty kick butt. Yeah. And so I definitely will want to put this one onto my pull list. That's for sure.
Yeah, and I'm gonna give a Fantastic Four.
Yeah,
very curious to see what that's gonna be like. So we'll put that back on the old pull list.
I'll wait till it's in the dollar bin. Because like there's a thing saying like there's 400,000 copies issued. You know, that's headed for the dollar bin at some point.
Yeah, I mean it's just the way it goes these days. But
yeah, Fantastic Four is one of those series that for whatever reason I always start whenever it gets rebooted.
Yeah,
and follow for a few issues and stuff, and then kind of my interest peters out. Yeah. So I've got like the first 6 issues of almost every single Fantastic Four reboot. I think the longest one I went is I got the full 12 issues of the Jim Lee run.
Yeah.
And then...
But basically you're saying it hasn't been good long enough for you to want to stick around.
I like the idea. I like the concept. I love Ben Grimm. But the overall book, it just doesn't do it for me. And I end up not sticking around for too long. So I have high hopes, so fingers crossed.
Yeah.
So I'll be putting it on my list.
Yeah. So we know how the big buzz was over Superman getting his underwear back.
Yes, Batman's getting his underwear back. Everybody's getting their underwear back.
The return of underoos is not that far away, I think. Apparently underwear is very important. But
underwear's
this
back.
Breaking news. There's going to be a GoBots comic by IDW.
Sure, why not?
Why not? GoBots don't get the respect I think they deserve. They just now, everyone just throws them away.
Did you watch that Netflix series, is it called?
The Toys That Made Us.
Toys That Made Us?
Not yet. I want to.
They have a whole Transformers episode, and they talk literally about how GoBots was Tonka, wasn't it?
I think so.
Anyways, GoBots got out first. Mm-hmm. And they were hugely popular that first year, outselling Transformers and stuff. Yeah. But then the second year, it just there was no sales, and it was just, you know, byway and dollar bins and stuff like this. And Transformers took over from there. Yeah. So I guess maybe the idea was really cool, but the articulation and stuff on the Transformers was better. Or do you think it was the cartoon?
Well, I mean, the cartoon probably just blew it away, right?
Yeah. Was there a GoBots cartoon? Or was that just the commercials that I remember being animated?
Yeah. I can't remember an actual TV series.
So why not? I mean, if Marvel can have a new 80th anniversary logo, why can't the GoBots have a comic book?
That's right.
But is there demand for it?
I don't know, because we are totally beyond my nostalgia era. Like, everybody's doing stuff to be nostalgic. And everything that's coming out now is all the stuff that I didn't follow as a kid. Like, I don't know He-Man at all. I don't know Thundercats. So everybody's up in arms
about
that.
She-Ra?
Yeah, everybody's up in arms about the She-Ra reboot, and everybody's up in arms about the Thundercat reboot. And I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
That's not my era. So I know I'm not screaming for GoBots comics, but that doesn't mean there isn't people out there that are.
How could you have not? We had a bit of a conversation about that word. Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah.
You never watched that
I remember cartoon? The cartoon, but I never watched it. Because I never played Dungeons and Dragons. I played it once, and I got assaulted by a frog underneath a tree.
And died.
And I never played again. You can blame Trevor Gulliver for that one.
Yeah.
He was the dungeon master. I was like, this game is stupid. I spent 16 hours creating my character sheet, and you just killed me under a tree by a dumb frog. I'm done with this.
Well, this TV series was great. It was great, but there's a new statue coming out with all the kids on it, and it is and the dungeon master, the little guy, and it is just amazing.
Yeah, yeah,
like. It's probably going to be like $500, but
well, like I said, you know, like they're hitting the nostalgia nerve, and they're hitting those kids that actually watch that stuff now. So all of a sudden, I have to come to grips with the reality that, you know, I'm not the target demographic anymore.
Yeah,
it's kind of like the first time I was listening to like music and heard them like doing like ripping off 80s music instead of 70s music, and I was like, oh. What just happened here?
Yeah. The oldies station is playing 90s music, and you're like, wait a second.
When the oldies station is playing Nirvana.
Yeah, like, what? What?
So let's talk about She-Ra for a moment.
Okay, She-Ra.
Now, I have not made a single comment online about this, because I don't want to get yelled at either way. I hate the character design because it looks like every other character on TV right now. Like, it looks like it could be from Steven Universe, or it could be from Adventure Time, or any of those cartoons that are on the Cartoon Network
right
now.
It does look a little bit like the new Thundercats reboot too, doesn't it, art style wise?
Not quite as rudimentary that. And so that was my initial reaction, okay? That I don't like that all of these characters just look super similar. And then I saw like Adam Gorham posted a picture where he did a take on the character, and I was like, no, that looks cool. Like I like that. And all these other artists that were kind of drawing it to be like, oh yeah, well look at here's my take on the new character because I love her. And I was like, you know what? I like every single one of those pictures. Maybe it's something without the color. Maybe I don't like the colors. But I'm not saying that She-Ra stood out as a character against like what we had back then, because sure, you could probably watch any cartoon then from 1985 and be like, all these characters look similar. I wish they didn't all look the exact same.
Yeah, like all the Hanna-Barbera characters.
But that's just sort of what I was immediately struck with.
Yeah.
In that, and I mean,
it's a lack of originality.
It just in the character design and the way that it looks.
So they ripped off a property, and now they're ripping off the style. Which begs the question, why are they bothering?
And that silences me not caring any further.
I think it's just because that's what the kids like. A lot of the kids like that style, that's weird style, right?
It's like I said, I'm not the target demographic, so I shouldn't have an opinion. I'm not going to...
Yeah, I mean...
At the risk, though, of getting yelled at by bringing up another thing, why, if you're going to change the style, if you're going to change everything about the character, maybe you should just make it a new show.
Yeah.
Like, that's what we... Like, when you want to bring in a new Green Lantern... But you're going to change, or you want to have Hal Jordan as Green Lantern, but you're going to change everything about him. That's not Hal Jordan. Just make a new character.
Yeah, we've been saying that for almost 99 episodes.
Like, but we're old, so like I guess it doesn't matter.
Yeah, you're absolutely true. Like, you're absolutely right. Just make a new property. But I'm trying to remember what article I read. It might have been Mark Bernardin wrote one for either Playboy or Variety. I can't remember. But the idea was... The question was, why are so many old properties being redeveloped? Yeah. And they were saying that from a marketing point of view, when you're selling a movie or you're selling a TV show, by having that name recognition of a previous property, you save, I can't remember what it was, $110 million out of the advertising budget for a major motion picture just by reusing a name.
Especially if you make it controversial so that people are talking about it themselves.
Yeah, exactly. We're doing their advertising for them right here on this show.
Yeah, and so everybody, because you know what? Everybody who listens, half of them are going to be like, you know what? I'm going to check it out because I like it, or I'm going to check it out to see if it's as bad as I think it is.
Yeah.
And there you go. Like that is literally why they're making us create a buzz for them.
Yeah, it's not the first Thundercats reboot. They had a cartoon.
No, the Thundercats they've done a couple.
It was pretty decent. I thought it was okay. And Voltron is on Netflix, a reboot. So, and it's pretty good too. But it's just this weird art style. But that's what the kids like. So.
Speaking of art,
but do they?
Or we're not done.
We're not done.
No, let's go.
Who's paying for this stuff, though? Is it the kids? It's not. It's us.
Yeah.
Like, we're the ones that are buying. We are still the consumer, are we not?
Yeah, we're paying for the kids' Netflix account and their internet and their computers.
Not only that, but we're paying for the, like, if we like the show, we're the ones buying it on DVD.
Yeah.
Not just bleeping, stealing it from the internet.
Yeah.
So... Do we not deserve to be pandered to a little bit?
A little bit.
Like that's what I don't understand. Because this is about money. We're the ones that are actually shelling out our stupidly earned money for this, while the kids just download it for free, steal it from the internet. So, I don't know. Mic drop, I'm out. I'm done.
The best example of that is Pixar. Because Pixar makes kids' movies that are entertaining as crazy for adults.
Yeah.
You can take your kids to a Pixar film, and you're happy you paid the money because you're entertained as well, because there's enough in there for you as well. So absolutely, I think you're right again. Like, give us a little bit of a bone, too. We're the ones paying for it all.
Like The Incredibles, too. I went to see that with a group of people that aged from 21 to 37, you know? And we were all entertained.
Exactly.
The rest, there was as many people my age in the theater as there were kids.
So it is possible.
It is possible.
You're not asking for something that isn't deliverable.
Yeah.
you know?
The internet will tell me I'm wrong.
No, well, the internet will tell you you're wrong, whether you're right or you're wrong.
Yeah.
Speaking of art, I'm reading this with a little bit of chagrin and yet not chagrin. Amazing Spider-Man. I thought the first issue was great. I'm putting it back on my pull list. I'm excited. I'm all hyper. Ryan Otley's art is great. The writing's pretty good from Nick Spencer. I'm like, this is going to work. And I just read here that Ryan will be alternating issues of art. So he won't be doing every issue. And I'm like, oh, fill-in artists. Like, oh, what are you doing? You're killing. Oh, come on. Oh. Just, okay, Jack Kirby used to write 6 or 7 comics a month, draw 6 or 7 comics a month, and you guys can't put out 20 pages every month? What are you doing? Then I find out that the alternating artist is Humberto Ramos, who is flipping awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if you're going to have a substitute artist for Ryan Otley, Humberto's pretty darn good.
Yeah.
So... yeah, it's like, so the book's going to change art styles all the time. It's going to be like a little disjointed. Yeah. But to really bang up artists, that it's, I think it's going to work. It's going to look pretty good. So I was a little bummed when I first read that. Then I was like, read the details. It's like, oh, no, I'm going to make comments just based on the headline. Oh, maybe I should read the article first.
Who has time to actually read an article nowadays?
Reading articles interferes with my outrage. Oh, well.
He's at Fan Expo, is he not? Humberto?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe. They're announcing a whole bunch of Fan Expo people. I'm definitely going, but
yeah, here you go.
I don't think I'm staying for the whole 5 days anymore.
Yeah. The Humberto Ramos Fan Experience.
Oh, here you go. They've been doing that more and more.
Yeah. 3 autographs per person, limited edition 11x17 print, and the best selfie ever, so don't forget your camera, it says.
Is that a guarantee?
Best.
That's what it says.
Ever.
That's what it says. Oh boy.
So we're gonna get a slight bit controversial again.
Oh.
But very, very slightly, tiny bit. Chapter House Comics solicitations for October came out,
mm-hmm.
And that's a little bit early for solicitations, but it came out, and they've got Life, Death, and Sorcery trade paperback. Which I still have to read from Danny. Crystal Key, which is a book I bought for my kids, and they were reading it, and they were saying it was great. And Die Kitty Die, Cat House of Horror Halloween Special 399, which should be pretty cool. I didn't know that was coming out. But there's no Captain Canuck.
Okay.
I'm going to cry. Where's the Captain Canuck?
Oh, man.
So that's my controversy. I'm upset.
That there's no Captain. Was there supposed to be Captain Canuck?
Oh, I don't know.
I'm not sure at this point. Let's stick with controversy, though. And let's. Did you guys watch the Doctor Who trailer?
I did.
Yes.
I think she's gonna be awesome.
Okay. Yeah.
I like the actress, so that helps.
Yeah,
I've seen a couple things that she's done, and
now we are not the Whovians that you are, Dan.
No.
So no. We should defer to your...
No, that's perfectly all right, because being not the Whovians that I am means that you have a fresh take on things.
Well, I've been watching...
But...
I've been watching since Tom Baker, but I missed a whole bunch of the later ones, and then I've seen every episode since Eccleston.
I feel like that trailer was... Like, the trailer was literally... put out to make Doctor Who as different from previous Doctor Who as you could possibly make it.
Well, isn't that what they always do?
Not.
Well, you got not the Doctor, necessarily, you got the companion.
No, you don't.
No, but I mean, in the past.
In the past, yes.
Right? And this one, she's got 3 friends.
Will you be my best friends?
Yeah, and I point this out to Dan is that they don't show the TARDIS, which is
and they don't
weird.
Show the TARDIS now. Like, I mean. There's been times when the Doctor is landlocked, so to speak.
Yeah.
John Pertwee's entire first 3 seasons, he didn't have his TARDIS. He was forced to do missions on Earth with UNIT.
Driving around in cars.
Due to costs. To make it more cost-effective, the BBC decided to have him just...
Yeah, because green spray-painted bubble wrap is expensive.
Yeah.
But, you know, they promised that this one will be a much different... like, it will be... She says, we're going to go to different worlds and stuff, so it doesn't see... There's still going to be the TARDIS, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Well, it's a whole new showrunner, isn't it?
Yes.
Russell Davies is...
Stephen Moffat was the showrunner before, and this is Chris Chibnall.
Yeah, because it was Russell Davies first.
Yeah.
And then, okay.
Stephen Moffat did Matt Smith.
It was being, just an essential longer teaser than the first one that came out the day before with her and like three people in that diner. It was like, what's that?
Yeah.
Have you seen the Sonic Screwdriver?
Yeah, job? The Sonic Screwdriver kind of sent me for a loop. It almost looks like an organic thing instead of a...
Yeah.
You know, it almost looks like it's a wasp or something instead of a mechanical screwdriver. Now, that's the picture of the toy.
Yeah.
So you see the screw holes from the toy. I don't know if those screw holes are going to be on the real one.
Probably not. I don't think there's any close-ups on the actual Sonic screwdriver. But, like...
I wonder if that's so different, maybe the TARDIS is... really different, and that's why they're saving it for later.
Like, I just change for change's sake, is that change worth having? The doctor being whatever gender, you know what, it's been like a year since we found out, and that it, I feel like that's a completely moot point now. Probably most of the people who are like on the fence or whatever, they don't care at this point.
Viewership dropped over the last couple seasons, didn't it?
Viewership dropped because they went from casting a hunky guy who got all the teens into it to casting a curmudgeonly old man who was specifically angry and abrasive.
Like the doctor usually is.
Like the doctor used to be. But like, so they went for a solid 8 years with David Tennant and Matt Smith, they had a hot young doctor that I literally watched the explosion of popularity of Doctor Who through HMV. You know, when it started, I was embarrassed of the show because I liked it, but it was weird and nobody else liked it. And then by the time David Tennant left, people were coming in all the time looking for the DVDs, looking for merch. And then the merch came when Matt Smith got in. And it just exploded, and it was like every third customer would buy something Doctor Who or talk to me about Doctor Who, and it was just humongous.
Yeah.
And then they switched to Peter Capaldi, and then, you know, I still think Capaldi did a good run. Yeah. I enjoy his episodes. I thought they were fairly well written.
Yeah.
But the fickle teenage audience doesn't care for him. Yeah. Therefore, they stopped watching. So...
So is this, I don't know, I mean, new showrunner, not exactly a successful previous season, female doctor, I would anticipate they would be doing more than just changing the logo. I kind of feel like I'm not surprised that it's different. I'm not saying it's going to be better or it's going to be worse.
Yeah.
That's a different discussion. But I'm not surprised that things are really different.
Yeah. See, like, the thing is, when Peter Capaldi took over, they... made the Sonic screwdriver into glasses.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it is what it is. But then they went back to the... Like, I don't like this Sonic screwdriver. Yeah. I think it looks ridiculous.
It literally looks like a wasp.
Like, I don't...
It looks like Cyborg's dad did it to a wasp instead of his son. That's what it looks like to me.
Yeah. It's just going to be a matter of we have to see the show before...
Yeah, I'm not going to make any serious judgments until I watch a few episodes. It's just like Fantastic Four. You know, I'm going to read the comic first and give it a few issues before I decide ultimately I'm going to hate it. But, you know.
But can I can, though, make a judgment on whether or not I like the design of the Sonic screwdriver.
Oh, for sure. Gosh, yeah. Absolutely.
And I don't.
And you can like or dislike the concept of the show, too, right off the bat. Like, maybe you're, you know... The fact that for, 100 years or however long Doctor Who's been on, they've been referred to as companions, and now all of a sudden... Now, is that because a companion to a woman means something different in our vernacular than a companion for a man? Like, can a male doctor get away with calling a younger child a companion?
I feel like...
Let's skip through the TARDIS.
But the root... This is one of my favorite lines in Doctor Who. The very root of the companion is in the very, like, first story. I think it's in the second episode. The Doctor, William Hartnell, turns to his companions, because they were all just, they piled into the TARDIS and it took off and ended up somewhere. It was an accident. And he says, fear makes companions of us all. And that's the root of them being called companions.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that to me is such an iconic moment in the series and such a great way to think of it as a companion rather than being like your buddy who's just here. Like it's these were two people thrown into it with him and his granddaughter and they had to work together or die.
Now, so I got another weird theory.
Okay.
David Tennant fell in love with his companion, with Rose.
Okay.
Right? And one could argue that, what's his name? After David Tennant.
Matt Smith.
Matt Smith fell in love with...
Amy.
No, not Amy Pond. The other one.
Clara.
Oh, Clara.
The impossible girl.
Yeah. So, is it possible that they're intentionally distancing themselves from a love-type word because they're concerned that if it's a female doctor, it's going to be all about love, romance, and weddings and...
But
and
doesn't
know,
that just
who wore the dress and
can't that just be in the actual writing?
Should be. Yeah, and it like, should be.
To me, and we're gonna have to heavily edit out my opinions on this episode because just end up in trouble. To me, this is She-Ra all over again. Right. They're just taking the show and they're like, you know what? Bleep the people who liked it before. We're going to call them best friends now because that's what 18-year-olds or that's what 16-year-olds are going to think is cool.
Yeah.
And like...
Change sucks. Change sucks because...
I'm not a bitter old man.
No, but it's true in everything, right? It's absolutely true in everything. I like Wally West Flash, period. Wally West Flash is awesome. I read more issues of Wally West Flash than where Barry Allen Flash is printed. And all of a sudden, Jeff Johns like, everybody wants Barry Allen flashback. I'm like, no, we don't. Who is everyone? You know? And the Flash comics have not been the same for me since. So I completely can relate with your hesitation and concerns and worries that this particular iteration of Doctor Who is not going to be what you expect, what you enjoy. Like, I totally get it.
And here's... am I being too entitled as a fan to think that they should still make a show that I enjoy because I've put literally thousands of dollars into your franchise?
No, absolutely not. I mean, you take care of your hardcore fans. End of story. Any rock band will tell you this.
You
take care of your hardcore fans. Because as soon as you lose your hardcore fans, like you said, those teenagers are fickle.
Yeah.
And they will come and go. But your hardcore fan who's been watching Doctor Who since the beginning... he's the person or she's the person who's going to stick through it as long as you are true to that property. If you start making it, like you said, a totally different property with the same name, but everything's different, well, you're going to lose those hardcore readers. And like you said, Rebirth versus New 52.
Yeah.
That's exactly what happened. You know, Marvel, with all their super-duper changes and stuff like this, and everybody started pushing back, going, well, you're just a bunch of social justice warriors, not comic book writers. You know, so... I think you got to take care of your hardcore fan. It's just the way it is. But there is something to be said about us hardcore fans dying off. You know, there's fewer and fewer of us.
You haven't talked to my doctor, have you?
No. You know, so but I get it. I hate it. I understand it. I you know, rail against it. I know exactly where you're coming from. You haven't expressed anything that I haven't expressed at some point in time in the last 100 episodes.
The best part is that I'm the quiet one who keeps his opinions to himself.
Yeah, but this is a property that you're passionately
invested in.
You're passionate about it, so it's understandable.
And 100%, don't get me wrong, I'm going to watch this. Yeah. I'm going to watch every episode. I'm going to buy the Blu-ray. I'm not even going to complain about it. Once it airs, but I'm just saying, like,
it's so different that
I'm worried that not going to appeal to me, and I'm also worried that people are gonna be like, well, that's because you're a man and you hate women, and that's not the case.
Yeah,
like I'm allowed to not like a direction the TV show goes without being sexist.
That's the problem, is everybody is so offended on someone else's behalf that they get offended when you get offended. You know? Yeah. You're just saying, as a fan, this particular property doesn't ring the bells of nostalgia that you're used to being rung. And automatically you're worried that somebody else is going to jump down your throat and say, well, that's because you're a sexist pig and stuff. Because somebody's going to jump down your throat and say you're a sexist pig. Because the only reason why you don't like the show is because of a woman. And you'll be like, no, I don't like it because of this and this change. And this and this and this and this. And pull up all these valid points. And they're just going to be like, you don't like change. And you're a misogynist and me too. And like, everybody's just so eager to knock the next person down and be critical. I mean, just take a look at our show. I mean, we literally talk about stuff that we hate all the time. And we talk about stuff that we like all the time. And just throw our opinions out there. And there could be a huge population of our readership. They're just like, you guys are so full of poo. It's ridiculous. You know.
But the difference, though, is that, like,
the cards are stacked against you here.
I'm never going to express that opinion on Facebook.
No.
Or online in any place, because that's when people can attack you without looking you in the eye to see what, you know.
Yeah.
Then that's when they'll do it. Nobody will accuse you of being a sexist, misogynist to your face.
Like, everybody's jumping down Shazam's throat because of the costume and Shazam this. And, oh, he's got fake padded muscles instead of actually spending the time in the gym and working out and stuff like this. And blah, 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 blah. The movie hasn't even come out yet.
Yeah.
Like, relax. Unwind.
But
watch it first.
I know what Dan's saying about being such a big fan.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Change. I mean, you can go all the way back to Dukes of Hazzard, right?
Oh, yeah. When they brought Vance and Coy? Or
the other cousins, because of whatever reason people weren't getting
lunchboxes.
Right? Yeah.
No, it was. I know, lunchboxes.
Right? And it was horrible. But even if you look at newer shows, like, have you guys watched Misfits?
No.
Oh
yes.
Yes.
It was
an amazing show until it wasn't.
Yeah, it was amazing with the original five. And then when they started leaving and then they ended up replacing the whole cast, it just wasn't the same and the show ended. Same with the other show with the vampire and the ghost and the werewolf. Being human.
Being human, yeah.
Right? Like, it was a great show, but they literally changed it to three different vampire, ghost, and werewolf. And it just wasn't the same. I don't know.
I miss the good old days where they would just replace an actor and not say anything happened.
Yeah, exactly.
Am I right?
In the soap opera days.
Soap opera.
The role of Dr. Fitzgerald is now being played by Scott Montgomery.
Yeah.
And that was it. You just went on.
But hey. Doctor Who is a funny thing because it's been on for so long and you've got diehard fans. Like, I was aware of them by just watching, having the TV on and seeing the fuzzy hair and the scarf and the hat.
Yeah.
That's what
Tom
I remember.
Baker, yeah.
Yeah, right? And I
wasn't
diehard, but I knew about the show, but never watched it. And as soon as I heard that Tennant was leaving and Matt Smith was taking over, I thought, okay, this is a good time. Good time to get on board, right? And I loved it. And I went back and I watched, you know, as much as I could of the old stuff. But I can imagine when Eccleston came on there, some diehard fans were like, I liked them, but I'm not the long time. Like, did you like Eccleston?
Well, huge as a fan as I am, I got started with Eccleston.
Like, there's got to be some. There's got to be some doctors that, like, I can't imagine.
Colin Baker.
Yeah, I can't imagine there isn't some point in time the Doctor Who mythos where someone like you or someone as invested as you didn't express exactly what you're expressing right now. Some kind of a fear and hesitation about the direction that they're going in. Now, back then, we didn't have internets and trailers and previews and stuff like that. So you got a lot more stuff to go on to form your opinion than maybe somebody back in the day did when they were writing a letter to the BBC on their typewriter, you know, IBM Selectomatic.
Yeah. But the thing with Doctor Who is that they did make him younger and handsome, and they drew in all these new fans, right, for three Doctors. And then for whatever reason, they thought, hey, let's go back to an old guy. The old fans will love it. But guess what? The new fans didn't.
Yeah. Right? But then again, like, if we go... Like, let's not talk about viewership, but, like, as we were saying, what about buying power?
Mm-hmm.
Because the teenage fans weren't buying the show. They weren't like I this is I'm going to call this my rage show, okay? I literally have cable just for Doctor Who once a year. I don't watch it anytime. It literally my cable box is off 97% of the year. I record Doctor Who. I pay for a PVR to record Doctor Who so I can rewatch it. And then I buy the Blu-ray as soon as it comes out. Yeah. Like, I'm contributing to the cable company. I'm contributing to the BBC through other outlets by buying this stuff. And you know that those teenage fans are just stealing downloads. And that's... Again, do they write Batman just aimed at people that they know are going to steal their comics for free online? No. Or should they write Batman for the people who are going to pay for it?
Well, they're giving them his underwear back.
Batman works.
And that's a step.
Batman works because they've been writing Batman for years. Like every time they change a few things here or there, Superman, they change a few things here, but it's still Superman. Truth, Justice, American Way, Batman, Dark Knight. Like it's. They don't change it that much, really.
Like, so I could this be does really look like, overreacting.
This looks
totally.
Like a, it looks like a big departure from what was there before, and I completely, you know,
one of the
understand
other,
your points.
One of the other announcements was that they were going to not have any two-part episodes this season. Mm. And you know what? That's actually a big departure from previous seasons, where they usually do at least two-part episodes, sometimes even three. And you know what? I'm okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
That's not change that's unnecessary. Like, that's, you know, you have you don't need two-part episodes. But, like, you know, if they're going to stop referring to the traveling companions as companions, the sonic screwdriver looks like a piece of lead that's got a wasp inside it. Like, these things don't feel like this feels like a in your face change.
But to be honest, we don't really know.
We don't know anything.
They'll be
that's why we're not
companions.
Going to air this,
yeah,
this
that
episode.
Doesn't,
until
that doesn't
after
mean
we
you can't
out.
Be mad and outraged about it. No. I hate mushrooms. I dislike mushrooms. If somebody makes a mushroom pie and puts it in front of me, I haven't tasted it to know that whether I like it or not. But I'm not going to touch the flipping mushroom pie. You take your mushroom pie
Christine,
and shove it up your bottom.
Christine made a great stroganoff.
Let me just
full of mushrooms and it was awesome.
Let me just say that, like, in your instance, you're making it sound like I hate women. So I see a woman in front of me and I don't like it.
No,
it's not at all. It's just
I'm going to make this.
Change
beef,
for
I'm going to make
sake.
This beef stroganoff with rice and a mushroom base. Oh, here's this new beef stroganoff with noodles and tomato. And you're like, but I like the mushroom and rice stroganoff. I don't want tomato and that's not stroganoff. That's an Italian dish. What are you doing?
But
I want the French dish back. What are you doing?
It's kind of symbolic of what a lot of things are. Comics changing characters. Like I've heard.
Yeah.
What was it? Oh, there was something recently. I don't know if it was... I know Indiana Jones 5 is coming out, but there's a... Like, there was talk of, like... Like, if you make a Magnum P.I. show and make Magnum a woman instead of a man, like, that's...
Which they were planning to do
but
at one
is
point
a, there is a movie coming out. I want to say it's Indiana Jones, but I know they're making 5. Oh, I don't... But they're just... All it is they're replacing the actor with an actress.
Yeah.
And it... Anyways...
Just make a new property.
Yeah.
The last Tomb Raider movie was flipping awesome.
Yeah.
But it didn't make a ton of money. So maybe if it was called Indiana Jones and the Indiana Jones was a female, and, you know, it would have made more money because of the brand recognition.
Yeah, the brand recognition.
Like, I don't know.
Yeah. But Doctor Who has been old and young and old and young, right? But he's always been a man.
He's never been as young as like he was. But no. Now, to be fair, when Matt Smith was cast as an 18-year-old to play Doctor Who, I was like, this is probably a bad idea.
What's going on?
So I am fully aware of my own history of being hesitant beforehand. And that actually made me go when Capaldi was cast. I was like, you know, I'm just going to wait and see.
Yeah.
And when Jodie Whittaker was cast, I was like,
this sucks.
but I'm still, you know, like there is going to be that moment where you're like, this isn't what I'm used to. It doesn't mean you're like, against it. You're
allowed to have opinions. Like all these people that are mad because you have an opinion and it doesn't match their opinion. It's like, go away. Like, that's one thing I've learned over the past few months is just life's too short. Go away.
It's my opinion that we're out of time.
All right.
So, yeah.
I guess we'll play a closing thing.
But first, I'll say check us out on Google Play and iTunes and that other one, Stitcher. And we'll be back next week with less opinions and more comics.
You have been listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Ontario, and available as a downloadable podcast at www.heykidscomics.ca and at www.firstcomicsnews.com. Promotional consideration for the show was provided by no one. Are you kidding me? We couldn't get advertisers if we tried. Wardrobe for our hosts was provided by Joe Nerds in Whitby, Ontario. They don't know that fact, but that is where we get 90% of our clothes from. No animals were harmed in the making of this radio show. Marty tried, but allergies won't let him get too close to Sam's cats. The views and opinions expressed by Sam are solely his own and do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the rest of the hosts, as we all like the Walking Dead TV show. The Hey Kids Comics Radio Show is a Quinn Martin production and copyright Hey Kids Comico. Rebroadcasting in part or in whole of this show is forbidden, but really, who would want to anyway?